In your face. We're going to hear from Tim McHugh now, who's in the kitchen, who first came on this show in 1998, a cabaret singer. And here's a track of his. It's called Once Upon a Time.
Once upon a time, 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 once upon a, once upon a, once a, once a, once a, once a, once upon a time, they were the Mardi Gras. Once upon a time, they were the Mardi Gras. Once upon a time, Jan Hillier was a star. Yes, once upon a time, she fought for who we are. And once upon a time, Don Dunstan wore a bra. A cavalcade of camp, a Trocadero bar. Through trial and tribulation, a voice of celebration. Through trial and tribulation, a voice of celebration. Once upon a time, once upon a time, once upon a time, once upon a, once upon a, once a, once a, once a, once a, was a boy called Wild. He asked her all night long, and Sappho she did sing. She sang her siren song. Once upon a time, we were the Mardi Gras. And once upon a time, Peter Tully was a star. Yes, once upon a time, he led the Mardi Gras. A cavalcade of camp, a Trocadero bar. Through trial and tribulation, a voice of celebration. Through trial and tribulation, a voice of celebration. Once upon a time, once upon a time, once upon a time, once upon a, once upon a, once a, once a, once a, once a, Harvey gave us milk, and now we're eating meat. Stonewall made us tough, now we're dancing in the street. Singing, everyone you know, come join the Mardi Gras. Everyone you know, celebrating who you are. Yes, once upon a time, Dennis Oldman was a star. A cavalcade of camp, a Trocadero bar. Through trial and tribulation, a voice of celebration. Through trial and tribulation, a voice of celebration. Well, boys and girls, this journey's been going on since the Big Bang. And I'm looking forward to the day when there are no categories for who we are. Gay, straight, bisexual, transgender, etc. When there are no labels except Chanel! Once upon a time, 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 once upon a, once upon a, once a, once a, once a, once a, once upon a time.
Tim McHugh, Once Upon a Time, and Tim joins us in the studio. Tim, 1998, early 2000s, you came back. Wow, what a journey.
I know, it's extraordinary. It's been so long, too long.
That is an anthem, Once Upon a Time. And look at the legends in it. Dennis Oldman, Jan Hillier.
Jan Hillier.
You knew them all.
I knew them all. And, well, I didn't know Harvey Milk. But but look, it traces the queer history from the days of Sappho through to Oscar Wilde, Harvey Milk, to Stonewall, to Mardi Gras, to us today. And it's celebrating our queer history, wearing it with pride. And yeah, I launched Midsummer Festival about 10 years ago with it, and we performed it at Mardi Gras, which was great, and also in New York, doing the anthem in New York.
I remember when you were a cabaret singer in the 90s, but you go back before then. You started when? When did you start doing cabaret in Melbourne?
Well, I go back earlier than even then, because I started on black and white television in the mid-60s when I was a child star, and then I became a cabaret monster.
Tell us about what you did in the 60s.
Brian and the Juniors. It was a forerunner of Young Talent Time. And there was Jamie Redfern, Deborah Byrne, all these people, Jane Scarley, were all on the show. So that was a wonderful, wonderful grounding in the business. And Brian Naylor, the news presenter, he was the presenter of the children's musical variety show. And I was on that show for 4 years. And then Jamie Redfern had to come along. And as Bing Crosby said of Frank Sinatra, why did he have to come along in my lifetime?
They're all big stars on Young Talent Time. Jamie Redfern moved to California and moved in with Liberace, right?
He toured with Liberace.
Wow.
My mother said, it could have been you if you smiled more. Said, well, Mummy, maybe I dodged a bullet. But no, Jamie and I are still friends. We chat on the phone. He lives in Hoppers Crossing.
Wow.
And he still does shows from time to time. You know, does his podcasts and he's a real sweetheart.
When you started doing cabaret in Melbourne, tell us what the venues were like.
I started doing cabaret in 75 with Louis Naur, the playwright, and Sarah Dion, the composer. We were both at Melbourne Teachers College, and we formed this trio called Nacht Music. And we stole that from Mozart. started at the Flying Trapeze in Brunswick Street, doing Brechtian-style cabaret with me in a big red dress, like Lottie Lenya. And so the Flying Trapeze, and also performing in art galleries like Talano's, where I did some of the first queer performance art in Melbourne, right opposite the Pride Centre today. At Talano's, I was doing this queer performance art happenings with Jenny Bannister making all these wonderful costumes. And we had a ball. And so the art world, the cabaret world, and also a part of the punk world. I still see myself as a punk. And we did shows at the Seaview Ballroom with Nick Cave, supporting Nick Cave and many other bands. And I remember one time I came out in a green satin evening dress, come out on stage doing the Doors, and this punk comes up to the stage and says, you can't do Jim Morrison, you're not Jim Morrison. I said, no, I'm Magda Morrison, and there are the Doors.
I've got to ask, what was Brunswick Street like back then?
It was very, very different. It was very quiet. Lots of boarded up shops, only a few venues. I think Soul Food, the African shop was there, Vergona's. Yes, there weren't a lot of shops, a lot of businesses in Brunswick Street then. It was a very early day, so very different to what it is today.
And what about Smith Street?
Smith Street, pretty much the same. I didn't really hang out much on Smith Street, but The Last Laugh, the famous theatre restaurant, opened on the corner of Smith and Gertrude Street in the 1976. So I knew Smith Street mainly through The Last Laugh, which we did a number of shows at. Did my Harold Holt show at The Last Laugh.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, it was called There's a Sail on the Waterfront. It's one of the performance art pieces I did at Talano's. And John Pinder, who was the owner of The Last Laugh, also at the Flying Trapeze, and he went big time, went to this major venue in Smith Street. It was a satire on political myths and myths of the sea, told by a mermaid by the name of Tuneful Serena.
What was the queer community, as we call it, but it was the camp community back then?
I love the word camp. It's my favourite word. Camp is a row of tents. Oh, it's so camp. And then my mother would say, you got your handbag today, and she'd do a limp wrist at me. And I'd say, Mother, you do that so authentically. the very early days of our queer culture. Yes, Melbourne was very conservative. I was a part of Gay Lib at Melbourne University. I was a part of Gay Liberation at Melbourne Uni. And we did a number of gay dancers there, as they were called then. It was a very different world. Homosexuality was still a criminal offence. I remember being chased home by a police car a couple of times, actually. They would follow you home and intimidate you. So we lived in a very different world. So I came out, well, as I say, I never came out because I've never been in. And I knew from a young age, because when I was 17, instead of sitting for my HSC, the Christian Brothers discovered love letters to a boy in my desk. All hell broke loose, and my parents had called in, and I ended up having shock treatment to rewire my gay brain, which thankfully did not work, of course. So I decided from a young age I would have to fight for my very identity. So that's why I became quite political from a very early age. So I returned the favour and gave society shock treatment in the form of anarchic cabaret. But yes, it was a very different world back then. I was very much out. Not performing in gay venues as such so much as taking it to the public square, like doing queer cabaret on Collins Street in 1978 in drag. Mary Whitehouse was brought over by Fred Nile, so I did a whole week of shows, lunchtime shows, lampooning the Catholic Church and Fred Nile and Mary Whitehouse.
I remember in about 2000, I interviewed you for Brother Sister, the gay,
that's
lesbian,
right,
queer street press.
That's right. It was a great rag.
Publication. And you gave me a great photo, which we published, of the,
yes,
it was the Empress Wu.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about the Empress Wu and Tim McHugh.
The Dowager Empress.
That's it.
Well, I'd just come back from doing queer cabaret in China, folks, without any permission from the Beijing Cultural Bureau, and we just had the most extraordinary time. It was quite historic for me, and I was so humbled because everywhere we performed, it was all advertised underground, so the Chinese police didn't know where I was going to pop up next, and often we didn't either. But
pre-internet surveillance.
That's right. So we had wonderful queer Chinese audiences, I really felt very humbled as a voice of freedom from the West. So it was just an amazing thing to do. And they were wonderful. They were just so appreciative. Well, I was billed as Mardi Gras comes to China. I thought, jeepers, gee, how many sequins do I have in that suitcase? So I thought, I know, I'll be the Dowager Empress. That should fit the bill. So I came out singing My Way. And now I face the Iron Curtain. And also sang my Pauline Hanson song because she'd just come into view at that time. So I was crucifying Pauline on mainland China. But we did a number of venues and it was all done underground, of course. And it was a great thing to do. And I really did feel very humbled as a voice of freedom. One day you'll have your own Mardi Gras through the streets of Shanghai, boys and girls. And where are those boys in boxer shorts? Surely the boxer shorts are somewhere.
I've got to ask, I mean, as an activist in the 70s and 80s and the incredibly political times.
They were. It was a real crucible.
Really was. But is the current era your kind of worst nightmare from back then? Is like, you know, the dystopian era that we're living in now,
I know,
the worst case scenario you kind of envisaged the world would become, and it has?
I never thought that it would morph into this, you know. I'm not surprised, but, you know, we're all in complete shock at what's happening, you know, globally with the right wing politics taking over so many countries, and especially America. But it's the one. I'm a satirist, but I can't bring myself to write anything about Trump because it's beyond satire. You know, we don't need to give him any more oxygen. I have my Pauline Hanson song, which I will relaunch. I have to find it somewhere on a CD somewhere and put it back out there again. But no, we're living in a very, very strange, it is so dystopian and you can't really believe that it's actually happening. But we are, Yeah, this is the evil regimes that are controlling the world at the moment. It's just beyond belief, really. One could have not predicted this, but. Well, you know, once upon a time we had, you know, that guy with a Christian name that starts with H, and we've had many evil dictators and over the millennia, really. So maybe it's nothing new. It's just that we're we have the technology now to facilitate it in a way that we never could before.
We did play your classic Once Upon a Time before, and I love the line about Jan Hillier, who was a titan the gay and lesbian entertainment
she
industry.
Was. Yeah, yeah.
You knew Jan well.
Yes, yes. We didn't like each other, but apparently that was quite common. Unless you were kind of worshipping at Jan's, I'm not worshipping your throne. You can worship at mine. Anyway, but she did amazing. She gave safe places to queer people back in the 70s, like Jan's Dancers and Pokies. I mean, she really, you know, really did such a wonderful, she and it was very, very from her heart. She really did give us safe places to meet and to celebrate our queerness, our gayness. So, and more should be done on Jan, because she was a very significant figure at the time. It's amazing how quickly people have forgotten, but we must not forget what went before, and because it's without people like Jan, we wouldn't have the culture we have today. And I wrote my own personal anthem. That's that anthem was written in 2002, but I've just written another one which I performed at Melbourne University. It's called "If You Don't Know Where You've Come From, You Won't Know Where You're Going," and it's a very different style. It's almost like a Joan Baez folk song.
You're still singing. You're still on
stage.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm still performing. I've just been focusing on my book, folks. Finished writing it, and we're looking for a publisher. So are there any publishers out there that would like an opportunity to work with the fabulous Tim McHugh? I'm available. So finding a publisher is my next step. I've got a couple in mind, and... But I'm very excited about the book. I've given it to various academics to read, and they think it's wonderful. I give lectures at Melbourne University on my queer history, James. And it was a wonderful treat that Professor Robin Sloggett invited me to give lectures on my queer history, which I've been doing every year. She heads up the Centre for Cultural Materials Conservation at the Grimwade Centre at Melbourne Uni, and she's the most lovely woman, and I'm the only white guy on the bill, you know. So I feel very honoured. She chose, she wanted a cabaret or comedy performer to be a part of her projects called the Respect Project. And she chose me, and I was very, very, very humbled that she chose me out of all those other little sparklers. And so she's been very much supportive with the book. And so the book is called Thou Shalt Not, So I Did. And lots of great photos, lots of great stories. Oh, yes, when Blondie came to tea, the band Blondie came to Australia in 78, and Deborah Thomas was having an affair with Clem Burke, the drummer, so they all came over for afternoon tea, and we went to their very first show in Morwell. That was before Blondie was famous.
Because their first big hit was actually in Australia.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
And we had them to tea, and they were so sweet, and we went to their very first gig at the Morwell Technical College. We're all wearing plastic ball gowns, and it was like something so surreal. It was just a wonderful memory, and she was very sweet. Oh, did my voice sound okay? You sounded great, Blondie. You sounded great. But wonderful stories. I mean, times with Nick Cave and in those early years, and in the art world as well. I guess I've straddled a number of worlds, the queer world, the punk world, and the art world. I guess I've always liked to mix it up, so many stories have been regaled in the book with lots of great photos from people like Renee Ellis and William Yang, Many, many others. As I say, a picture tells a thousand words. So keep your eye out for it. I'm planning on launching the book at Pride Month in 2027 in June. So we've got to get ourselves a publisher, folks, and get the show on the road.
Tim McHugh, it is wonderful to see you again and hear your voice and your incredible stories and history in our community. We are definitely going to have to get you back because you have so much more to tell us.
It's been wonderful to come in, James, and to share some of my history. And I look forward to returning to the airwaves in the near future.
And here is your track, New Millennium Tension Blues.
Oh, yeah, this is one of my faves.
I got those new millennium tension blues, and Looney Bin Laden is in the news. The towers are down in old New York town. Got that new millennium tension crown. Got those new millennium tension blues, and Jesus is coming, it's in the news. And old Mohammed is feeling blue, he got those new millennium tension blues. Blue, blue, millennium blues. Blue, blue, millennium blues. Blue, blue, millennium blues. Blue, blue, millennium blues. I just put on my blue suede shoes and kick those new millennium blues. I'm a thoroughly postmodern millennium man. I deconstruct whenever I can. This new world order is just a sham, 'cause those with power don't give a damn. We don't have countries anymore. We have a multinational biblical whore. The God of Mammon is at the door. Don't let him in, he'll take your soul for sure. A blue, blue, millennium blues. Blue, blue, millennium blues. Blue, blue, millennium blues. Blue, blue, millennium blues. I'll just put on my blue suede shoes and kick those new millennium blues. Blues. Don't want George Orwell to come true. It's a brave new world for me and you. I got those new millennium tension blues. Got those new millennium tension blues. And Frankenstein is in the news. It's global warming for me and you. If the bomb don't get us before we're through. Blue, blue, millennium blues. 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 I put on my blue suede shoes and kick those new millennium blues. Now don't get alarmist, that old Nostradamus. Don't get your kicks on Route 666. Don't lose your soul to thought control. Just put on your blue suede shoes and kick those new millennium blues.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.